You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the APC podcast here at AcmePackingCompany.com. I'm Alex Patakis, that's Ben Foldy, and Zach Rapport is here with us as well. The gang is all back together after an exciting win that probably didn't need to be exciting over the San Francisco 49ers, one of the league's worst defenses, yet we still had to sweat it out. I think we'll talk a little bit more about what we talked about last week, because the NFL is the NFL, football is just weird, and we still have zero answers as to whether or not the Packers are good or bad.
But we ran a new poll, and the votes are coming in. I think actually it just ended.
Is it exactly the same as last week?
It's not. The needle has moved, so we will discuss.
The needle has moved. After a victory, I'm wondering which way that needle has moved.
I'm just going to be totally upfront and say that I barely got to watch any of that game, and I haven't at all gotten to watch replays of that game. So I am like a newborn baby who was born into the fourth quarter of that Packer game, and I think that they're really good.
If you were only watching the fourth quarter, yes, they're damn good. I don't know why it takes.
Best team I've ever seen.
You know, but it's funny, though, because the narrative for them was always that they, like, you know, oh, we didn't have fourth quarter comebacks, even though numbers would suggest that Rodgers is better in the fourth.
Clutch.
I kind of like this new, like, version of the Packers where they just suck for three quarters, and then in the fourth quarter, you know Aaron Rodgers is going to rip the soul out of out of the opposing team and, you know, just send Kyle Shanahan home, who was dressed like B-Rabbit. Like, was he like, was that?
He had
it was
such
like
a
I was watching 8
look.
Mile. Was it you who texted me that?
I said that his sideline look was really good, but I did not compare
somebody
him to
texted
8
me
Mile.
That. I was like, why is Kyle Shanahan dressed like Eminem? Like, I don't understand why.
It was a very good look.
I mean, I understand that it's cold and everything.
It was only beaten by Mike McCarthy's color rush sideline look last year, I think. He was in the all white, and then my friend texted me a picture of him and said that he was in a Hype Williams video. Like, there's some really good sideline looks, but...
Plenty of excitement in that game. If you want to chat about it with us, at Alex Patakis, at Ben Foldy, at Zach Rapport on Twitter, at the APC Pod. Let's do Notable Nuggets, because I know, Zach, you wanted to talk about the broadcast. So why don't you go ahead and lead us off with your Notable Nugget from last night?
My Notable Nugget is that the Monday Night Football broadcast team is the worst, I think the worst NFL broadcast team I have ever been forced to watch.
That's a big claim.
Can you name one worse? I don't know.
Ion Eagle?
Nah, that guy is better.
What do you have against Ion Eagle? I feel
Ion
like
Eagle
you
is
always
fine.
Mention him.
He's B+. I don't know. Joe Tessitore is not good.
You don't like him?
No, I don't.
Interesting.
Jason Witten is bad.
Jason Witten
Everybody
is just
agrees
bad.
He's the weak link, I think, in the broadcast group. So, like, what in particular, then? You don't think Tessitore is a good play-by-play guy?
No, I think he's way over the top. You got to lead by example. So he's way over the top, and you got Jason Witten, the newbie, who clearly has no idea what he's doing, and he's just hyperbole and nonsense, and like he's trying to string together like common phrases, and they're just coming out a little wrong. Rabbit out of the head.
Oh,
I think he said.
I'm so glad you brought that
Are
up because I rewatched
me?
The final series.
These guys are paid professionals.
And the final series today. I was trying to keep track of how many times he said, "You just know Aaron's gonna pull the rabbit out of his head."
And Booger McFarlane is fine, except that he's on a cherry picker inexplicably, and every shot of him is like of the back of his head. Doesn't make any sense.
It's so weird.
He's like a tennis umpire.
If he's going to be, like, on the sideline and blocking people's view, because they drive that, like, thing around the sideline.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, if you're sitting close on whatever, I don't know what sideline he's on, like, during the game, if it's the visiting sideline or the home sideline, but if you're sitting close, there's a very good chance that your view is going to be obstructed by him sitting on that thing. Just put him in the booth. He's not even a sideline reporter. He brings no added, like, I think he's the only one who brings value to the broadcast, but there's no added value by him being on the sideline. It's the dumbest thing I think ever.
Yeah. When your job could be done by a drone.
Yeah, to put a finer point on it, I think that in a internet landscape full of Packers fans who inexplicably hate Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, this is just so, so much. It could be so much worse. Yeah. They are their network's A-team for a reason.
I will say this. There are plenty of reasons for Packers fans to hate Joe Buck.
Yeah.
The Randy Moss playoff game, whatever year that was.
Can I maybe trigger some people here? Get over it.
No, but it was just...
Get over it.
No.
They were high-fiving him last night when he was riding his bike down, Lambeau Field's parking lot on Monday Night
Joe
Countdown.
Buck, I will say this about Joe Buck, though. He's gotten better, I think, as he's gotten older.
I digress. I think we should move on, but I'll also just say that I think that Mike Tirico is the best. Anyway.
I agree.
And I wish he could do every game.
He was on the Monday Night broadcast, even with Gruden.
What about Tony Romo?
It was so pleasant.
Oh, yeah. I would say, actually, the two of them together would be like, they could be the broadcast team of my life.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Just always talking in the background. We got to talk about some football players.
All right.
We do?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess my notable nugget, having only watched the fourth quarter, is great game for Equanimeous St. Brown, my boy.
This is the Donnie.
Beautiful catch. One catch for 19 yards, I believe. But
it was
a great catch.
Really good catch.
Highly technical, good route skills. Like, everything about that was great.
Knew where to be, knew where to look.
As far as I'm concerned, he had a great game, and the Packers just cut D'Angelo Yancey, so I think they agree that they are set and wide receiver with the new kids, all of whom look... How did MVS look?
Very good.
Somebody watched the game. How did Jamon Moore look?
He had a catch.
All right, cool. So,
MVS is... He's someone who... Yeah, he's a real player. I saw MVS make a few catches.
Well, in the opening series, he had that really long catch and run, which was big. But he also got reamed out for a mental error.
He's much better in the intermediate routes than Janice was. Which is not saying like almost anything. But he can do stuff other than running a vert and actually still like look like a real football player.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, he does all of it while maintaining a speed that is just on another level compared to anyone else on the field. It is very obvious when you watch.
Except for Goodwin.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, not on that field last night. On most fields, but not the field last night.
Olympian. Olympian Goodwin.
Yeah. Did you guys watch the Sunday night game?
Sunday night, of course.
Tyreek Hill? Insane.
Yeah.
Like, the Chiefs are the most fun team in football in, like, 10 years, and there's so much. Like,
more on that later.
You knew exactly how that game was ending, though.
Yeah.
That was,
fantastically.
Like, before the game started, you knew exactly how that game was going to end. And I can listen to Patrick Mahomes all day. Like, I know that it's been, like, harped on plenty now, and I know Charles McDonald wrote a piece where he just asked everyone what he sounds like.
What do you mean?
It's so amazing. My favorite thing to do is, like, people who don't even follow football, like, show them a picture of him and be like, what do you think that guy sounds like? And then play audio of Patrick Mahomes being like, yeah, you know, I'm just out there trying to make a play. And it's like, whoa.
Is he from New Orleans? Is the only way
he's
that
from Texas, but
sense.
He sounds like the Bayou. Yeah. Like, that is what you, like, he's like Ed Orgeron. By the way, on the MVS thing, before we move on to my notable nugget, did you guys see Rodgers? Like, I love how many angles and everything you get on the broadcast. Yeah. How you could just read Rodgers' lips as he's just like screaming at him. Basically, he ran like a two-step out route instead of just immediately going to the flat because there was no one lined up over him. So like he pushed vertical first, and then like you would just Rodgers threw like a what looked like a really bad incompletion. And then it's just like, boom, side shot of Rodgers, literally pointing and screaming at him and looking so pissed off. And it's just like, I loved it.
Is that okay?
Yeah. What were you going
to
ask?
Go to your note.
Oh, no. My notable nugget, I think we have to talk about the defense side of the ball. I love that with the game hanging in the balance and the defense needing stops, 51 was the guy running around making plays because we give him a lot of
grief
on this podcast. So it kind of felt like Kyler Fackrell and Clay Matthews switched bodies because as good as Kyler Fackrell was, I do not know what the bleep that was when Clay Matthews ran like 100 miles an hour looking like he was just going to blow a play up but had zero intention of actually making any type of football move, as they say. Like, I've never... I didn't even know how to, like, react to that. Like, yeah. I was so stunned. Like, that... I
think that
might have
been the first
older,
play I saw.
And he's like, really? That was your welcome to this game?
Wasn't it? Like, it was like in the middle of the third quarter or beginning of the third?
I think it was in the fourth.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, it might have been the third. I didn't go back and watch that one. I didn't need to. But Fackrell running around making a couple plays at the end of the game. So
yeah, he got a sack or, nice like, shot or a by tackle him. Right at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that you were happy that they brought the blitz when it mattered and that they you
know
believe
you know
in themselves.
That should have been mine.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
I was talking about that earlier today. Yeah. I'm physically aroused every time I watch this play. They brought seven on the game-deciding play, which resulted in an interception by Kevin King. That was so fucking cool. Dom Capers would have been in prevent on like fourth and three.
Betting the house
or third and
over
three.
And over and over again is and actually showing that it works is like I know that, you know, looking at the box score, I can't actually say the ins and outs of how the defense played yesterday, but I still believe this is the best defense the Packers have had in years.
I mean, they did not look it for a very, very large portion of that game. But I will say this, Kyle Shanahan is a really good coach.
He's a great coach.
Losing a chess match to Kyle Shanahan doesn't make you a bad coordinator because he's one of the better offensive minds in football. And it really is a shame that we don't get to see him coach Jimmy Garoppolo this year because I think, like, I mean, obviously, you still almost lost to Beathard, but he's decent enough.
I don't think Beathard's bad.
Like, right, yeah. Like, I think like, there's worse quarterbacks in the NFL than Beathard.
Beathard is a rookie who was thrown into a bad situation last season, and this season is maybe a replacement-level quarterback.
Yeah.
And granted, you shouldn't lose that, but it's a replacement-level quarterback with Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. He's not Nathan Peterman. Like,
no.
It's like when we're like, oh, my God, we almost lost to Beathard. Yeah. Like, he's...
No, I mean, the touch on the marquee, on the Goodwin...
Yeah, he threw a couple of beauties.
Yeah. He's not a completely ineffective quarterback.
No, but you saw the blitz, though. How
fun
was
that? Oh, the blitz
was
amazing.
Yeah. That was so hot.
Yeah.
It was just like, whoa,
physically
man.
Arousing.
Yeah, I was
no
like,
other,
whew.
No other collection of words to describe it.
I needed a cigarette after that blitz.
And then Kevin King got his first career interception.
Yeah, which a lot of people argued that was actually an incomplete pass, to which I say, okay, they probably would have had better field position if they punted the following down on fourth down. So who cares? Anyway. Okay, so we asked last week, are the Packers bad?
So last week we put it out to the listeners on Twitter at the APC pod, are the Packers bad? We had about 500 of you guys respond, and it was, I believe, 60-40, yes, the Packers are bad, to no, the Packers are bad. We ran the same poll today. Let's try this again. Are the Packers bad? And the needle has moved. We got more responses this time, which is awesome, about 750 votes. And the needle moved in a bad way, 69%. Nice. Now say, yes, the Packers are bad. 31% say no. What say you, Alex?
This is really lame, but I say the same thing as last week. I don't think that they're very good, but I don't think there are very many good teams in the NFL right now. I definitely don't think they're bad because I also don't think there's a lot of bad teams. I think there's like maybe a handful. Like the Cardinals are bad. You can write them off. Like, the Colts, probably pretty bad.
Are the 49ers bad?
There's,
like,
two-win teams.
That's an important question, I think, in all of this, is are the 49ers bad?
I mean, their record is going to end up being bad because they don't have Jimmy Garoppolo, but the rest of the team was probably poised for a very competitive season.
Yeah, McKinnon, too.
Aaron Rodgers last week said this, and someone responded to the Twitter poll. Who was that? Southside Failson was the name. The difference between good, average, and bad is very small in the NFL.
Particularly this season.
Yeah.
How many overtime games have there been?
You know how many? I think there's like two or three games that are like battles for first place in their division this week between 500 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like the 3-3 Washington team versus against like Dallas. It's like, oh, first place on the line, like just to get above 500.
Yeah.
This is going on league wide. Like it's a weird, like there's more parity than ever. There's more like just like weird shit happening. Teams losing to teams they shouldn't lose
Which
to.
Which brings up an interesting factoid.
If the playoffs started today, the Packers would be in.
So, by definition, not bad.
Yeah. Not that bad. Like, I guess I'm wondering, there's like a Minnesota Vikings podcast, after they get like thoroughly beaten by the Bills, instead of like, you know, beating the team, just not in convincing enough fashion, like, do they just sit there and be like, why are we paying Cousins? You know what? Zimmer's got to go.
I don't think that they do behave that way because...
they're not spoiled.
Packers fans are spoiled.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, we know that. But like, I mean, it's how many... It's a weekly thing. Like, we're in game, we're firing the coach. But at the end of the game, they win. And it's like, well, now what? Like, now what do you want? And you wanted creativity. And here's the other part of, like, the bad thing. I think they're going to progressively get better because I actually am starting to believe the stuff that we read in the Tom Silverstein piece.
Yep, the McCarthy
with Coach McCarthy
stuff,
because there was some of that. You didn't get to rewatch it. The first few series, there was particularly a lot of different wrinkles.
There were wrinkles?
There were wrinkles. You know, the touchdown pass is an obvious one.
But I mean, to be fair to them, I mean, like, you know, if you're, let's say you're wrinkling, you know, you don't necessarily want to do it with two or three rookie wide receivers on the field, right?
You also maybe want to build those into your game plans throughout the season strategically. That's something that I know that for a fact that Mike McCarthy has always done.
You don't want to do all your wrinkles on one opening drive
against
the Chicago Bears.
You want to have
on game one of the NFL season.
Right. Or you want to put false wrinkles in early to put that on film
to
do something else later.
The fake wrinkle.
Yeah.
It's actually smooth.
Hashtag
but
false wrinkles.
It looks like a wrinkle.
It's weird because I mean, last night is a game where you're shorthanded at receiver. And like you said, maybe they were saving it for when guys get back.
Yeah.
You got one eye on the bye week because you need it really badly and you have a really tough schedule coming out of it. But yet you come up with like your most creative offensive game plan.
Yeah.
But then your quarterback doesn't play that well until he goes into God mode at the end. And it's the one game where your defense actually just gets thrashed.
I want to play guy who didn't watch the game, devil advocate. His stats looked pretty good in the first half of the game.
Like, he did some weird non-Aaron Rodgers stuff.
Not what it go
and
on.
And again, it's like maybe we don't know because the MVS one was obvious because of how he was reaming him out, and I trust that MVS ran the wrong route by a step when the ball just like fluttered to his feet. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of throws, and again, it's not even like he played at times like a regular quarterback. Even when he doesn't have his best game and we're saying, well, he didn't play that well, it's because we notice in our minds, like we there's a few throws, like two throws that stand out. Like,
he's not
somebody
who misses often. Yeah.
But he had some misses.
Yeah.
And he had some, like, you know, some of the holding onto the ball too long stuff, some of the missing open guy. I thought that the last touchdown to Devontae Adams, too.
That was one of the best throws I've seen in a long time.
That was an incredible throw. I think MVS would have scored, too. I don't know. Like, I went back and watched it, and he ran a really nice double move on a linebacker. And the safety that was basically supposed to be playing over the top of Devontae, like, it's probably designed to make him make a choice. He didn't make any choice. So, like, they were both wide open. Mm. But in that spot, you got to go to 17. But anyway, I didn't think Rodgers played particularly well, but I thought McCarthy drew up some really nice things. They ran a lot of play action. I got a little annoyed.
They're very successful at play action lately.
I wonder if Rodgers, I got a little annoyed. Like, I think the bootlegs were great and these easy little dump off throws. Lance Kendricks, by the way, had some nice productivity out of that.
Yeah, he did. I got to eat a little bit of crow.
Go Generals.
Yeah.
Like, these are things I think
Rufus King in the house
would have been doing, but your quarterback had a bad knee and you're missing two receivers. And it's like, okay, it's do or die. I don't care that Rodgers is probably not as mobile as he always is. We're going to run it anyway. And it worked.
Well, what about Aaron Jones?
Well, that part is still very frustrating. That, I will say, there's still a lot of stubbornness.
Not
in
just
McCarthy.
From a fantasy perspective.
No, I mean, from the first series, his first touch was, a 17-yard, minus a yard, I guess, right? Because it was a 17-yard touchdown that got wiped off the board. Like, he looked explosive from the get-go. And there's no, like, Williams and Montgomery need to play because they're good. Like, they can be productive.
Yeah.
Jones just needs to play more. Mm. And again, the whole thing of, like, having guys who do a lot of different things, I understand, but they kind of use, they all do the same things.
Yeah.
They all use them interchangeably. So from that perspective, you just ride the hot hand. Like, there's probably going to be a time where Aaron Jones isn't very productive, but, Jamal Williams is playing really well. Go with him more. But it's like, you could probably predict the rotation that they're going to go with at running back throughout the entire game. And that, to me, is just refusing to adjust. Yeah. Like, that makes no sense. To me. So yes, that part actually still pissed me off. But other than that, Mike and I are cool.
Mike and you are cool.
Yeah.
So you're on cool. Team not bad.
I am on team not bad with a pretty high degree of confidence that they're going to be good. And that if we ask this question in like 5 weeks, we're going to be like,
they're good.
The percentage of the poll would be like swing way back.
So the real question
good.
Is, did last night convince you more that they're good or that they're bad?
I would say it convinced me more that they will be good than them being bad. I also trust their defense to be much better than they were last night.
Yeah.
And they're also still very unhealthy, arguably missing their best corner.
Jair Alexander was out. We haven't seen Breland yet, which is frustrating for me because he's someone who Mike Pettine has been talking up. It's like, hey, this guy stepped on the field at practice. And people are like, oh, we got another real player.
Yeah.
And right now, with all these injuries, there's not a lot of real players out there.
Although one real player who has yet to make much of an impact this season is Mike Daniels.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's playing. Yeah. I was listening to Michael Cohen's podcast, and he was talking about talking with another beat writer about the defense and how many players do you think are playing above average football on the defense right now? And they listed, I think, three, and Mike Daniels was not one of them.
Oh, I mean, he's definitely not playing above average. I'm not even sure. I mean, I'm sure he's playing average.
Yeah.
Like that's, but yeah, like, yeah, yeah. But for Mike Daniels, that's a notable step down, I would say. So,
well, the overall point of that conversation that Michael Cohen was recounting was to say that basically the roster on defense, by and large, is not great.
One of the things we talked about with Blake last year, though, was how, like, hand-in-hand his success was with Daniels and Kenny Clark. Not that Kenny Clark isn't playing well, because he is, but if Daniels is having a less than stellar year, I kind of understand why maybe
yeah,
that would
that's
impact
fair. Yeah, he doesn't.
Blake Martinez.
I mean, they're not eating up the double teams the way. But I think one the other thing is that, I mean, just a lot of times Martinez is so limited sideline to sideline. Not so limited,
yeah.
But limited.
Yeah, he's a little stiff.
And, but the other...
people are walking by the studio and
I give up.
Ben, easily distracted, Foldy. Yeah.
That wasn't, no, you guys, look, it was your, what was I talking about? Defensive players?
Yeah, guys who are playing better than average.
Oh, I was going to say that, you know, historically, Mike Pettine's defenses have made a lot out of sums of, you know, not entirely amazing parts, right? Like, we're talking, you know, mediocre Browns defenses, Jets defenses that have Darrell Revis and then nobody else. If you're going to have a defensive coordinator with a defense without a lot of stars,
yeah.
He's not a bad coordinator to have.
I totally agree. And again, we haven't rewatched it. We have to watch the film.
Yeah.
But we haven't. But I would say that last night, I would bet, is probably, like, if you go back, like, I think there's just times that they're, like, outmatched, like, talent-wise, like, speed-wise. And, yeah, that's kind
Goodwin
of...
Goodwin is a burner.
That's kind of scheme, but I don't, like, lose a lot of faith in Pettine after last night.
I've been very
pleased.
There's been no game this season where I'm like, Mike Pettine... You know, in the past, there were multiple games where I would be like,
In a couple of weeks, we're really going to have an answer. Because, yeah.
You mean against the Rams?
I mean, you got McVay and then McDaniels back-to-back weeks. That's going to be freaking awesome.
Although you have a bye week to work it out, right?
Yeah.
Like, we should have all sorts of schemes. Hopefully have somebody come back, maybe, you know.
I think you'll have, healthier. Like,
who do you put on Gronk? Oren Burks?
I don't know. Who do you put on Sony Michel and James White is the real question to me. Or Julian Edelman, cut from the same Cole Beasley cloth that notoriously just rips the Packers to shreds. But you know what? A few years ago when they matched up at Lambeau Field, we would have thought the same thing, that they would have been out coached. And again,
if Detroit could beat them,
game. No, the Patriots are beatable.
Yeah.
They're definitely beatable.
Yeah. I'm much less worried about the Patriots than I am about the Rams.
From a scheme perspective and like a holy bleep, how do we prepare for this?
The Rams are a juggernaut.
I think McVay is the one that I'm like, that guy's going to throw a million wrinkles at you and it's going to be like we're just like
It's Todd Gurley running
like
over
bag.
Your face. Like, yeah, even if you manage to shut down all the other stuff. I mean, although the other stuff is important to Gurley getting to run on six-man boxes all the time. And
luckily, there's a bye week. We can get a little healthy.
Yeah, what are we going to do next week? That's the real question.
We'll do a show.
Okay, cool.
I think there's a lot to go around. Now, I will say I'm excited for us to get healthier at receiver.
Yeah.
But we didn't mention this before when we were talking about some of the wrinkles. I know Ben Fennell, friend of show, wrote about it at The Athletic. But Devontae Adams in the slot, when you go back and watch this game,
mm-hmm.
You're going to be like, how is football that easy? And it really was just him matched up on linebackers. And it's going to make you think.
Well, that's their fault.
Well, it is. But at the same time, like, is that going to continue? Or is that something that, again, born of necessity with injury, kind of like Aaron Rodgers being in rhythm week one against the Bears, because you're missing Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison, two guys who I think before they went down, we're probably playing a much higher percentage of snaps in the slot.
But
like,
I
don't want that to go away.
Every NFL offense is moving towards putting their best receiving playmaker
in
the
slot. Yeah, but the Packers weren't, like, until their slot receiver and Randall Cobb got hurt.
Well, but Jordy Nelson was, remember?
Well, yeah. Well, I guess at that point,
and
they still
he was
thought
like
maybe
kind
Jordy
of the one.
Nelson. I thought that was more of like a he's losing a step thing. But
people think
not.
That, but really it's like you're giving him a chance to make a move before a corner gets hands on him, right?
Right.
Because he's off the line in the slot. And so when you have a guy, especially with those kind of first step moves, like,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
There's no reason not to put him in the slot.
It doesn't matter who is trying to put their hands on him. It seems like he could beat anybody off the line.
Yeah.
And the Niners adjusted, too, because they had Richard Sherman play him in the slot, especially late in that game. That was the one they pointed out on the broadcast after Jason Witten got done talking about rabbits being pulled out of heads.
And Sherman is like famous for not following players.
And last night he was like, screw this. Yeah. And he waved somebody off and waved him to the perimeter to go cover probably your boy,
EQ,
your son, mm-hmm. your large adult son, and then decided that
he's not even that adult. I think he's only 20.
That's true. And then he was going to cover Davante Adams. And then obviously he had that penalty mm-hmm. that gave the Packers another chance. Should be noted in this show, but it was a flag. So for all of you saying the Packers get gifted in a second chance.
Yeah, it's not like they've gotten burnt by late game penalties at all this season.
Yeah, seriously. And it's not like that. It was also a very obvious call.
Speaking of which, let's circle back to Tony Brown. Tony Brown. Is Tony Brown good?
Is he going to be on the team in 48 hours?
I advocate for Tony Brown. I stand for Tony Brown.
I thought that was kind of dumb, but it wasn't also like a vicious
hit. No,
it was
exactly.
a shove.
Tony Brown is having extraordinarily bad luck with flags.
Yes.
And the one time that I've got to see him make a play, he made a play. So I'm into it.
Yeah.
He's made a few plays, and not that this was any of our nuggets or topic of conversation, but he was fined for that taunting penalty last week, and it was like 40% of his paycheck.
Yeah.
And that is bullshit.
Yep.
For the best play he made all day. His game check is being taken away.
It's a topic for another show, but I think fines should be percentage-based because he's a player who's
making very
little.
We don't need to revisit Crucial Taunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crucial Taunt. Nice, crucial nice taunt. Ref. Killer ref.
Hashtag Crucial Taunt. It was a Crucial Taunt.
Yeah, it was.
Gave him another shot. Anyway, so looking forward, we have a bye week, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
They're not gonna
That's
lose.
All I got.
It's a great bye. Everyone always loves to have like the week 8.
We get to watch the Brewers.
You can focus on the NLCS, which the Milwaukee Brewers at this juncture now lead 2-1.
Yes.
After a nice shutout last night. Very lovable team.
Very lovable.
Did you guys see the footage of Joe Buck letting Euchre into the booth to call in a half inning of baseball?
I did, and I saw
TV.
People talking about that. So are the same people, the same Packers fans who live and die with the Brewers still mad at Joe Buck now that he let that happen? Because that's something I would assume is Buck's call.
Yeah.
Fox is probably up to you.
I've forgiven Joe Buck, but I didn't see this and I need to go see it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. That's a great move. I love Joe Buck.
He's the best.
Yeah.
As long as we're
not Joe Buck.
We're gonna keep harping. As long as we're still talking about broadcasters, two things that I forgot to mention on my notable nugget about why I hate that broadcast team on Monday Night Football so much. They said two things. One is that they couldn't for the life of themselves pronounce Tremont Williams' name.
Really?
How do you not pronounce
He's
Tremont Williams?
He's been in the league for like over a decade.
Tremaine.
What is that?
Tremaine Williams.
Doesn't even have an A or an I.
Tremaine Edwards, I guess. Or Edmonds.
Don't care.
Tremaine?
Disrespectful. It's a baseline professional courtesy. You got to have at least a producer in your ear at some point at a commercial break tell you how to pronounce that name. Didn't do it. They got it wrong like four times. The other thing is that they kept casually saying things like, the Packers are, one of the better screen teams in the league, which hasn't been true since the 90s.
Wait, at defense or offense?
No, offense.
Neither.
Either
honestly.
Way. Either way, garbage, hot garbage. Bring on the bye week.
I didn't pick up on the Tremaine.
I don't
want
to watch football
this
weekend.
That's so bad.
I had the sound on for the Brewers mostly.
I don't want to watch football, but for some reason, I'm weirdly interested in Chiefs Bengals. They're like kind of mirror images of each other. The Bengals are like weirdly effective on offense.
They're not that mirror images.
They're both terrible.
Is that a
defenses.
Mahomes impression?
They're not that. No.
All right.
I'll put it this way: they're both
it's bad audio.
The very good teams
are
with good
okay.
offenses and terrible defenses. That's going to be another like 40-something of 40.
Maybe.
Kind of
I
game.
Mean, it'll be a high-scoring game because every game the Chiefs play is like this ridiculous shootout.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the Bengals will give them that much of a
no?
contest. We'll see.
There's some football to watch.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm going to watch something.
Yeah.
I probably won't go to a bar for it.
I'm just going to watch British Bake Off.
The what?
Fair enough. Never heard of that show.
No.
Should we roll it
network?
Up?
No, it's
BBC.
A BBC. BBC, PBS kind of thing.
Okay.
Master Cake Theater.
Basically. Anyway.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Email the show, theapcpodcast@gmail.com. Get at the show on Twitter, theapcpod. If you're listening to this and you haven't subscribed, hopefully we were good enough for you to feel that that is warranted, and do so on iTunes. It goes a long way. We will be back during the bye to discuss whatever it is the Packers do from now until then as they prepare for Sean McVay and the...
Do a lot of self-scouting, focus on fundamentals.
Still unbeaten. Only unbeaten team remaining in the league, the LA Rams. Thanks a lot. Talk next week. Bye. So raise your glasses high, then you chuck a luck until they're dry, and raise your spirits to...
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.